Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, this is the game we should play all summer long when we have market product. It's called "What in the world did I drop off in your cooler?" and what are you doing with it? Because we try to cook with the seasons, and we're always responding to market product. And Cindy gets the most specialized basket of goodies from market.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to have when she walks in Monday morning, have all
it's
kinds
always,
of surprises
it's
there.
It's always very exciting. It's a lot of fun.
And hopefully good surprises.
You know, it's funny, when you go to culinary school, they have what's called a mystery basket, and it's one of your tests. And before you can graduate, when I went to school, they did it twice before you continued on. And it's fun. It's the fun aspect of, it's a little bit like a mystery basket. You walk in there and, oh, there are baby carrots in here, and I have like six bunches, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And I can smell them when I walk into the walk-in.
Yeah,
the
carrots this week were unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like when I was at market on Sunday, and a friend of mine, we were just kind of trying to decide what tomatoes we were going to buy, and we're smelling the leaves.
Just smell them.
And just it's just so beautiful. So
people respond to color on market product, and just close your eyes and use your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
yeah.
We'll tell you so much.
And even the garlic was so beautiful, and it's just so fresh. And you know, it's such a big difference when things are fresh like this. You know, and you brought me zucchini and all different types of squashes and different types of zucchinis. So because it is so fresh and right out of the ground, I went ahead and did carpaccio with it, which I love to do because it's rare that you can use zucchini raw like that. And so we thinly slice it. We use an Asian mandolin.
Kind of small guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are small. And we used an Asian mandolin and just slice it very, very, almost paper thin. And we do it to order. So it would be the same way you would do it at home. It's just as you're about to enjoy the plate of food, you just, you know, kind of slice them right over the plate, have a wonderful extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of fresh lemon juice, good kosher salt, good pepper, and a little bit of cilantro, if you like cilantro, which I know a lot of people don't, but I have grown to really love cilantro, particularly because I know a lot of people from Mexico and have really learned to love that as a fresh herb and understand its uses a little bit better than perhaps when I thought I didn't like it. And, you know, and then we grilled a piece of salmon and put it on top and a little bit more extra virgin olive oil on the fish. And if you want to adapt that and make it just into a salad, we also put roasted tomatoes on. So you brought me a flat of gorgeous they weren't that little, actually. They were good-sized cherry tomatoes. They look like purple crimps.
Yeah, these are from one of our Eastern Shore farmers, and he never shows up with this product. This product never shows up this time of the year. It's
gorgeous.
Always a few more weeks.
Yeah, I was so surprised.
And they're juicy as can be.
And they're so good.
Fantastic aroma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we roasted those. So we just put a little bit of olive oil on, salt and pepper, roast them into the oven until they begin to burst. Basically, you do it at low heat, maybe 275 degrees, 250 mm-hmm. degrees. Of course, you could do that overnight. Just leave them, if you have a gas oven.
At like 175 or something. Mm-hmm, and just
mm-hmm.
melt them a little bit.
Exactly. So you could either do it overnight and have it all ready for yourself for the next day, or, you know, we're under a little bit more pressure with our cooking. So we did it that afternoon. And they're just so, you know, by roasting them, you're intensifying the flavor. You're kind of realizing a little bit of natural sugar in there. There's not a lot, but there is some natural sugar in there. So the tomatoes we used, you know, it was exciting to see tomatoes because it is so early.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the things I dropped off, I was definitely a little bit, and you know this, a little bit, try to drop off something a little weird to kind of test you a little bit to see if you're going to send me, like, what in the world is this text message or something in the morning,
uh-huh.
or if you're happy about it and you do something really cool with it. And the thing I wondered about is that there's one of the farmers that we work with that I asked last year to plant a bunch of heirloom radicchio, sort of caveman-looking radicchio.
Oh, it's really beautiful. It has a dark, you know, radicchio is this, you know, beautiful purple lettuce.
Almost magenta, yeah.
Yeah, and it has green leaves on the outside, greenish red. And I wanted to take a million pictures of it because they're just so beautiful. And they're probably, you know, if I put my two hands together, a little bit open, that's about the size of the head. And I made a salad with that. I could have grilled it, which is always fun to do. So you can do that at home. And again, just light oil. I would even do corn oil, maybe a little bit of salt.
That's the all-time cheat for if you like balsamico a lot. Some of the old balsamico, like 30 or something, is to mm-hmm. grill radicchio or treviso, especially if you have nice big leaves, and just get a little smoke in it and then just drizzle it with that and good oil and salt.
And maybe a little shaved Reggiano.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
pretty. Well, you also brought me that little bit of stone fruit that we're going to get this year, because apparently it's a horrible year for stone fruit, which is sad.
Super tough. That's the thing, is coming out of winter, you always wonder what's going to happen with the set of the fruit. And yeah, that's the cherries, almost no sour cherries. Sweet cherries, there's rain right at the time they're going to harvest, which makes that super. It's good year to make cherry preserves, but not much else.
Well, which you can look for, because as you said, we can get less expensive fruit then because it's not as nice. So that is your opportunity to make jams or preserves. But what I did was I cut the cherries off the stone and macerated them with fresh blueberries that we actually got from our asparagus farm on the Eastern Shore yesterday morning. So the cherries and the blueberries with raspberry vinegar and a little bit of sugar, and let it sit about 20 minutes before we started to serve the salad. And we cleaned the radicchio, sort of left it in big leaves, not too awkward for the guests to eat, but sort of in big pieces, and tore it, actually. Washed it well, tore it. And just stacked up the lettuce sort of with the blueberries and the cherries in between the layers of the lettuce. And then I have a beautiful, very rich, fatty cheese from Italy called Latour.
Love that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. From the Alto Adige.
A little strong, too.
Yes. It has a little funk to it, even though it's this sort of beautiful, white, creamy cheese. It definitely has a tone of like I said, funk to it. There's not
It's a little goaty. It has that. It's a mixed milk cheese, and it has a little bit of that goat cheese. Like, pay attention.
So we crumbled that and put it on top of the salad, and the combination of, you know, radicchio tends to have a little bit of a bitter taste, but this also, because it's so beautifully grown, had almost a sweet tone to it as well. And then you have this acidic and sweet fruit, and now you have this fatty cheese, and I mean, it's simple, but it's a great salad.
Well,
refreshing.
You're hitting it. That's a very Italian salad, because you're hitting all 5 points of the palate. It's you know, sweet, tart, bitter, salty, sour. I mean, that's, you know, you.
Yeah, if only I had three
everything.
Parents, one from Spain, one from Italy, and one from France. Well, four, and United States. I'd be. wish I had grown up in that situation.
Yeah, don't skip out on your mom's chicken noodles.
Yeah, right. For sure. The Pennsylvania Dutch, I would not want to give up.
Yeah,
but,
nope.
Or a farmer as a parent. That would have been really cool, too.
It's good that you mentioned the mystery basket, because we have guests coming up on our next two segments. We're both excited about.
Very
Francois
excited.
Dino from L'Académie de Cuisine, to talk about culinary education. And that's going to be, and because we're always talking about and always trying to inspire home cooks and that amateur chef. But what is real preparation? What it was, what it's going to become as time goes along, what your education was, should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, we look forward to talking with him. It will be interesting. I mean, I graduated from school in 1987, and culinary school, I mean, first of all, there are so many schools, and there are 700 culinary schools in our country now. And when I went, there were not remotely that many. So there are just so many programs to choose from. And when I went, the Culinary Institute of America, Johnson & Wales were the two big schools. And, you know, they still are, but there's so many other choices now. And also, you know, you talk about L'Académie. Not only do they have a professional program, but they also have a program for home cooks, and a great website that you can go to and find out, you know, what the opportunities are there. And I think that's a great thing about living so close to a culinary school there in Bethesda, that you can go and take some classes there.
So I want to take you back to your mystery basket for
okay.
a second, just as that was a tangent that I know we're both excited about. But what else? What are you looking forward to besides? I know tomatoes are a big deal. We have a big. You always have this. July is the big transition month, because you're going from the spring product, which is really what comes in June. I mean, all the lettuces are beautiful right now, and there's plenty of that to play with. And sugar peas have come and gone, and English peas have come and gone.
Sugar snap peas were at market.
Yeah, that's the last of it. I mean, that is the last
because,
of it.
Yeah, I had a couple of farmers hand them to me, and we were eating them raw in the market. And like,
which is,
oh, the sugar
which
content
is, which
on
is
those
great,
are
but
the, just so good.
But yeah, by the time someone's listening to this program,
right,
they're gone.
They won't be
so
there next week.
Terrible
yeah, the line
teas.
For the peas was pretty long. I was, yeah. Gosh, the market has changed. Hasn't it, Tony?
Well, when the weather
when you started to go, there weren't lines.
Well, it hasn't changed for me because I get there when the farmers get there, and I'm
well,
gone.
That's true.
I'm gone when the crowd starts to come. Thank God.
You're there at the now crack of dawn.
Well, I want you to have.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we want to have the best things.
Yeah, we do. It's great.
Early bird gets a worm, right?
That's for sure. At market, there's no question.
So if you're there with them unpacking the trucks, no one's going to beat you to the stuff.
That's right. Hence the little cherry tomatoes you got me, because they weren't there when I got there. I got there around 8. So obviously that was very late in the morning, talking about, you know, things to work with in the walk. And I'm excited about those carrots. But
those carrots can be fantastic. And we've got a couple more weeks of really good carrots before the big heat hits and kind of bakes into the ground. And too many of the, it's a funny thing, but the thunderstorms you think about in the summertime, the more mild they are, the easier it is on the season. Like zucchini flowers have been inconsistent because it seems like we have a thunderstorm every time it's about, you know, I make a phone call, they're about to pick them, and they have a giant thunderstorm, and we get a quarter of what we're supposed to get because the flowers get wiped out.
Well, we're working. We do have some, and we're stuffing them with goat cheese and putting them in beignet batter and frying them, and it's just, they're one of my favorite. I mean, that really is something that I look forward to, because you say it is so dependent upon the weather and can be so up and down.
That to me is really like the symbol of summer is here.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's kind of like, well, there's enough sun for the zucchini to actually have the flowers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we have maybe one or two more weeks of those, and that'll be the end of that.
No, I planted my garden just way too late, and but I'm not.
This year, that's a good thing.
Well, So I planted tomatoes and zucchini, on Sunday, and super excited about that.
Last year, the tomatoes of Indian summer were the best ones. So.
Okay.
Because August storms are so rough. Usually August is like the perfect season, but we've had, you know, pretty intense weather. So.
Well, and I thought George had an interesting tip. He was talking about planting it, how I should snip off the little tomato that was already on the vine. And also he said to plant a lot of the vine down into the ground, because all those little hairs are actually roots, or turn into roots, I guess. And so
they get more nutrients.
I know nothing about gardening. I will say that right now. I know how to cook it, but I don't know how to plant it.
George's wisdom is particular.
Oh, well, I'll go with it anyway.
When we come back to Foreman & Wolf on Food and Wine, we'll have Francois Dino from Academy of Cuisine. And I know Cindy's excited to talk to him about all kinds of things, about how the experience of the culinary student has changed over the years and what remains the same.
Yeah, we look forward to talking with him.
On Foreman & Wolf on Food and Wine.